Hallelujah. Somebody needed that song. Somebody needed to be reminded to hold on. Our scripture has been shared. Coming from Mark chapter 8, verse 27. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" He asked, "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." He said, "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men, the things of people." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, follow me." I want you to look at your neighbor and tell him, "Yours is mine." There has been on television a number of game shows. Some have come and some have gone. One of the shows that has been on for a while and has had a couple of different hosts is a show by the name Family Feud. You know Family Feud. Started out with the fella from Hogan's Heroes as the host. And now we have, praise the Lord, Brother Steve Harvey. But with that show, you know, there's always two families, and the representative from each family comes up, and a question is put out. And each representative gives an answer. And after the answer, the response is given. The host says, "Survey says," to see if the answer is up there. You know what I mean. Yes. The survey says, what has been observed by many, what has been observed by the majority. They're always looking for the number one answer. Am I right about it? Jesus was in between Galilee and Judea and decided to ask his disciples. What does the survey say? The question, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? What's the result of the survey? And so Peter, he's always jumping at it. Peter jumps on it and representing all of them immediately responds by saying, well, they say you are a servant whose service isn't swayed by who's in office. Whether it's governmental or ecclesiastical or a church office, you are a servant whose service is not determined by external authority. Who flexes their muscles? Your service is determined by someone far beyond these shores. That's who you are. Mm-hmm. Survey says that you are one who doesn't shrink back from serving others, even though the authorities may be inviting you strongly to change course. You are one who cannot be intimidated. You are one who has no price tag. The survey says that you are like John the Baptist. Can nobody do nothing with that boy? You're like Elijah, who always could stand up and was willing to stand up and willing to stare down hundreds of prophets on the other side. That's how can nobody do nothing with you. That's what the survey says. Survey says. Yeah. And the survey says, after Jesus says, surveys are good. But how about a survey of just you all? Peter says, you're the one who's been coming for a long time. You've been coming this way for generations. Moses was good, David was good, other prophets were good, but you are the chosen one, set apart. You are God's anointed one in a way like we never saw before. You are the Christ. And Jesus says to them, instead of saying, go spread the news, Jesus says, you came up with the right answer, but since you really don't know what you're talking about, just keep it to yourself. It is possible to come up with the right answer, but not be able to express so that others can understand how you arrived at the answer you did. Oh my God. Have you ever been able to, you have said something in conversation, and when someone responds by saying, well, can you elaborate? And you just say, I just have a feeling. Your feeling can be dead center, but until there's more than a feeling, sometimes we need to keep something just to ourselves until God continues to shed some more light on it and provide some more revelation to it and give us some more illumination until we put a little more prayer on it and sit at the feet of the Lord and search the scriptures, keep it to yourself.
That's right, yes, Lord.
Keep it to yourself. So what does Jesus do immediately? Verse 31 tells us that after he heard the right answer, but told him, keep it down, keep it down, keep it down, keep it to yourself. Immediately, Jesus begins to unfold the new curriculum. You need this curriculum. And what is it? What it is, this curriculum says that being the Christ isn't what you think it is. Somebody say, ouch! The new curriculum says that there's an ouch that goes along with being the Christ. Yes, you have answered rightly. But in case you think that because I have been a long time coming and the fulfillment of the prophetic hopes that were in years before me, in case you think that everyone is just going to rise up and call me blessed and go with the program, let me give you lesson number one. Lesson number one is that the Son of Man, describing himself, the Son of Man must, somebody say must suffer many things and be rejected by the same power structure, the church's power structure, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke more plainly about it. Y'all don't hear me. Lesson number one is that there's an ouch. There's an ouch. And then, oh my Lord, Peter objects to the ouch. Peter objects to Jesus telling them that there is some pain that you can't bypass. There's some pain that I will not be able to bypass. I may be God. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I may be the anointed one. I may have this going for me and that going for me, but I will not be able to delete physical pain. I can't erase emotional pain. I can't sidestep relational pain and opposition. I won't be able to do that. It won't happen. Don't get it twisted. You just can't bypass the ouch that goes with being in this skin. Peter, one version I was reading, it says, Peter took Jesus by the hand, led him to the side, and rebukes him. Now, I want you to check this out. Peter's just said, you the man we've been waiting for. But now, you gonna act like you the man. See, he's already got it twisted. You've already said, you're the man. But now, because you don't like what the man is saying, you're going to take him by the arm, hear me, pull him to the side and give him a talking to. You're going to rebuke Christ?
Yes, Lord, yes.
And to rebuke was to tell him, shut up. No, really.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Translation, honestly. Shut You talk about nerd. But, well, verse 33, but Jesus, but when Jesus turned, oh my God. And the version says, Jesus turned his back to Peter. Did you shut me up? Here's what I think of that. Turn his back to Peter. Looks at the crowd. Calls the disciples with their survey. Y'all don't hear me. And says to them, oh my goodness. Get. He's talking to Peter. Behind me. Satan. You talk about name calling. Why? I'm referring to you as Satan because everything out of your mouth sounds like it's come from the enemy of the will of God. You're not speaking what is in line with the will of God. You're not speaking God's mind. You're not expressing God's heart. So let me do you a favor. Since you haven't heard your own self, you don't understand, you don't realize your own words. So let me name it for you. Get behind me, Satan. Not mad at you. I just want you to understand the source you just got connected to. Oh! Sometimes we need somebody to say to us, come back in. You stepped into a danger zone. What you just said doesn't sound like you. What you just said does not echo the direction of your heart. That's the way you used to think. That's the way you used to walk. So in case you haven't noticed that you're deviating from the path, I love you enough to draw you back in.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Love you too much to let you talk that mess. Lesson number two. First lesson, there's some ouch that can't, there's an ouch that can't be bypassed as being the Christ. But lesson number two is that if I'm the Christ and you are my team, then that means you have to deny yourself. That's part one. The second part, you have to take up your cross and follow me. Now here's what's interesting. You'll note that Jesus didn't refer to himself being on the cross. He referred to being killed, but he didn't state how. You didn't see that? He doesn't refer to dying on a cross, but he says to the disciples, if you're on my team and I am who you say you are, then you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Oh, my goodness. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Tell your neighbor, it's one thing to make the team. It's another to be in the game. But it's another thing to get the ball. You see, when you get the ball, that means you have stepped aside from your own playbook. Y'all don't hear what I'm talking about. You're not going to be in the game if you have your own playbook. And the coach has another. Y'all don't hear me. Oh, it's one thing. If you're going to play in the game, then that means you got to deny your own playbook. Leave your playbook at home. Your playbook is no longer in your heart. Your playbook is no longer memorized. I don't care how you played before you got up in here, but to be on God's side means you go with God's will, and it means you won't always get to play the style of play you want. I don't know why the coach wants me to play this. I know I'm this. This is my position. This is my position.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Well, let me express it. The team we're getting ready to play, you're not the match for the corresponding player on the other. If we play you there, we gonna lose. Because you can't keep up with the opposition. Take up the cross.
Yes, Lord. Yes, yes.
Take up the cross. Lord, have mercy. You know, to take up the cross is about seeing someone else's pain as your own pain. To take up the cross means you're not out for what promotes you. To take up the cross means you don't mind looking like the criminal, even though you know you didn't do anything wrong. Now, let me put it like this. You know, they have these medical missionaries. God bless them all as we speak, medical missionaries. Medical missionaries, they have nurses and doctors, and they go places. They go where fame can't find them. They go where prestige isn't looking. They go because they have been called to feel the pain of another. And they step aside from what they could get out of using those same skills somewhere else. For a month or 3 months or however, they suspend all of that to go where nobody can give them anything but maybe a thank you. And sometimes not even in a language they can understand. But they go because the pain of another has become their pain. There's a song, used to be sung years ago when we had lovely teas and beautiful tea services. You know what I mean, love tea service, gorgeous. And somebody would stand up and sing, "No man is an island. No man stands alone. Each man's joy is joy to me. Each man's grief is my own. What it means to be a Christian is for somebody else's joy to be joy to you." Oh, y'all don't hear me. Somebody else's grief to be your own. Oh, my God. All right, let me put it like this, and I'm done. I'm done. You know, when we dedicate children, you've noticed I don't take the children. I don't hold the children. I like looking at them. I like to look at the children. I meet the children earlier in the week, parents and so forth. We have a lovely time together. Mm-hmm. Speak to the child and make faces and let them look at me and make faces back. But you know, one of the things, aside from the fact that I'm scared I'm going to drop one of these children, I figured it's safer with the parent than with me sometimes. Because what happens, I notice that they love glasses. Y'all know these children, they love glasses. Anything they can, you see, you're holding them with one arm and they're grabbing. They're looking and grab. Y'all know they love your glasses too, don't they? You see what happens is that the child is operating out of the sense of what's yours. It's not. You see, anything that stands out to them is now theirs.
Yes, 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 Lord.
Well, you know, that's how Jesus operated. Jesus noticed my sin.
Come on, man. Come on.
Yes, Lord.
Notice my sickness.
Bring it in, baby. Bring it in.
Notice my sadness.
Bring it in.
Look at me squirming. And took all of me. Y'all don't hear me. That's how Jesus is. And Jesus says, if we want to be his disciples, we've got to become like a child. A child that looks and says, what's yours is mine. Y'all don't hear me. You're crying, I'm crying. You're sad, I'm sad. You're happy, I'm happy. We've got to be willing to bear the weight of another and to do it with joy. That's why Jesus died. He died that we might live. He died. He saw our separation from his Father. He saw us drowning in our own sins and confusion. And on that cross, he said, "What's yours?" Yours is mine. And for all of us who realize that that's what he said, that's why he came. He longs to just take us. Unlike me, who I want to keep my glasses. But he wants to take us in his arms so we can see with new eyes. Yes. Would you stand with me today? The doors of the church are open. There may be someone here today. Jesus wants what's yours. He wants your heart. Just like that medical missionary, that surgeon will operate on the broken parts of us. Jesus wants to operate, to love us, the broken parts, to heal us, to heal our separation from God and one another. He wants to give us a new heart and a new mind. He wants to make his what is ours. If you're here today and you want to say yes to Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord, the one who takes you just as you are, I invite you to come. If you step out into the aisle, you just step out into the aisle and we'll meet you. You come right up. You might already know the Lord and you're looking for a church home. If that's you, I invite you to come.